You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In a very good morning after Steelers win 2019, 6-5-1, got some questions, about four big questions in this first segment as we push through this morning. And we'll take your calls as well. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. TJ Watt, the man of the match yesterday, he asked some questions as we get moving.
It's momentum, and we just have to keep watching the film no matter how we play, and that's the thing, keep learning from it. We have a really short turnaround. We need to keep stacking wins, and we can't get satisfied with where we're at because there's still a long way to go for us.
Yeah, to bounce off of that, the question to start today, I think, is this. The most prudent question as you're sitting around having your coffee or as you sit there and head into work maybe and you knock it around with some people there. Where is this team right now? Is this temporary euphoria that you'll realize from yesterday's win over a very good team, over division leader, over the top team, the AFC, going into this game? Is it temporary euphoria? Or does this win get this team back kind of in it? They're currently the eighth team, which will be the first team on the outside looking in, right behind Cincinnati, and they are done with Cincinnati on the year. But the eighth team right there with Indy and with the Raiders and just a tick behind. So will they remain on the outside looking in? Is this temporary euphoria in that, okay, they really could make a run? Or is it window dressing? To me, that's the biggest question today.
Well, I mean, ultimately, we won't know until they put together another couple performances like this, if they can. And that's not a cop-out. It's just to say that it is euphoria for the moment because you beat your division rival, your hated division rival, and you did it in a game where the first half didn't look too good. The old cowboy gunslinger came back and had a great second half. They actually ran the ball a little bit. All of those things led to, okay, maybe we got a little hope here. And that's what they are. They're a team with a little bit of hope because, as you describe them, on the outside looking in, a half game, I guess it is, behind the Bengals, but obviously losing the tiebreaker to Cincy, just outside the playoff picture, they're still in the discussion. And that's what yesterday does, and that's where we are. It gives us hope for four more days at least. It gives us hope that this team might be able to put something together down the stretch and sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. It keeps that hope alive. I lean more toward it's probably some window dressing, and I don't know if they'll sneak back in.
Yeah,
and that they got it together for 30 minutes, I guess it was. But we'll see. And all you can ask for at this juncture after what you did and to get here and where the record was going into yesterday was some hope, and they do have that right now. The second question, right, as you get into all this, after we hear from Deontay Johnson is it better to just go a whole lot of no huddle and forget about huddling up? Go quick, go quick, go quick. Deontay Johnson, who alludes to, the offensive coordinator, in his words, not mine, he seems to think so.
Yeah, because he's playing comfortable. He calling what he see. You know, he's able to adjust whenever he wants to, and we comfortable too as well. Not taking anything from the OC, but we just plan. We just do whatever he tell us to do, and the offense just rally around him.
He might be taken away a little bit from the OC. just maybe a little bit from the OC is my thought on all of this. It's glaringly obvious. The functionality of this offense over the past couple years is it spikes. It's better. It functions better. It functions quicker. It works a lot more industrious, I guess is one word. It works a lot more. It just works better when you don't have to huddle. When you don't huddle, when you get to the line, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're running quick, but you get there and you let Ben Roethlisberger operate at the line. We could talk about diminished skills in terms of physically. What can't be argued is Ben Roethlisberger still has an impeccable way of comporting himself at the scrimmage line and figuring out where to get people, how to get people where they're supposed to be, and calling out what has to happen at the line. He's much better in that role than he is huddling up.
What I really liked about the Steelers' offense in the no huddle last night was that it didn't mean they had to go five wide and fire it around all over the place. There was a realization, whether it was Matt Canada and Ben's ear providing, you know, RPOs, as they call them, or whether it was Ben understanding that they had to remain balanced, they did. In fact, if you look at it, five of their last six no-huddle plays were runs.
Right.
And that tells me that, again, whether it's Canada influencing Ben, whether it's Ben understanding, whether it's a little bit of both, Ben coming to an understanding under Matt Canada's influence, it's that just because we're going no-huddle doesn't mean I need to sit back there and spray the ball all over the place. We can also lean on Najee.
Well, it also probably tells me that it took a good eight games or so to trust a rookie running back in no huddle to understand all of the checks, all of the calls, all of the protections at the line of scrimmage without a huddle. It takes time for that to happen. We saw it with James Conner. We saw it with Le'Veon Bell in the past. You can't just go no huddle with a rookie running back in very important rookie pieces until they have that understanding of all the terminology on the fly. And that's probably what's happening. It probably took eight or nine games for that to happen and be totally comfortable doing it. But there is no question the function of it is just much better no huddle.
Yeah, and I think Ben's also, like I said, come to a realization that it does, just because they're going no huddle doesn't mean he's got to throw it all on his own shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, another question, the future.
Honestly, we just got done with this game. I'm exhausted, and we play in a couple hours, it feels like. And so that's my focus. My focus is on Minnesota and what we have to do to get ready. I'll address any of that stuff after the season. I've always been a one game at a time, one season at a time person, and I'm going to stay that way.
Ben, you talked about the approach. Is it hard to do the one game at a time and not think about?
No,
this might be the last.
I've been doing it for a long time. You know, it's I've enjoyed this game and this game specifically, and winning at home in front of our fans, it's awesome.
Okay, well, there it is. I'm working under the assumption this will be Ben's final year because he very easily could have said, no, I plan on coming back. This isn't a big thing because he's right. We're in the throes of week to week, and we'll go ahead and survey the scene at the end of the season. You don't necessarily do that just after I walked off a field in which I beat a division rival. But that could have been very easily knocked off and said, no, I plan on coming back next year. And then if something changes, I'll let you guys know. But I am working under the assumption, just as I have all season for the most part, that this is the final victory lap of Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, yeah, and he also could have said, no, you know what? When he was originally asked the question, and it was right before that clip that you played, he was asked about, obviously, the Adam Schefter report about him telling everybody that this will most likely be his last season, and he responded with, well, I didn't tell everybody that. That would have been the opportunity, the opening, to say, well, wait a second, I haven't decided that yet. And he did, as you did play there, point out, hey, you know, I've always been a guy to make that decision after the season. But I think the writing's on the wall. Nobody was shocked by Adam Schefter's report. There have been increased rumblings throughout the year from our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette, who we'll talk to in about 50 minutes at the top of the list, that, hey, don't necessarily count Ben out for another year. But I think that writing is on the wall, and really that it fed into, though, what was your classic Ben Roethlisberger storyline, right? He comes out of the tunnel. Everybody's going nuts for him because this report just came out that, yeah, it is, in fact, going to be his last year most likely. And he runs out, and then not so great a first half, but comes out, wins the game in the second half. I mean, it was everything Ben Roethlisberger lives for.
I agree with that. Agree totally. And I agree, or at least I don't know if you've said this, but I think that it definitely came from Ben's camp to get it out there just a little bit.
Ironic that the second sentence in Adam Schefter's report is, Ben hasn't spoken publicly about this yet because he doesn't want the focus to be on him.
For sure. Follow okay. us. We're on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Obviously, this merits a much bigger discussion, and we will have that throughout the morning. We'll spend the top of the 8 o'clock hour talking about this, but Harbaugh going for two questions.
Related to the decision-making to go for two instead of just kicking.
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So it was an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
I don't care if Haloti Ngata is playing corner for you. I just don't. For me, it's the wrong decision. It can be debated. He's the coach. It's his team. You have one of the greatest kickers of all time. You have a situation where you have both of their other kickers and their specialists on the ropes. You have Boswell not performing well, Presley Harvin not performing well. Give me a situation, and you're on top, and the bye means so much in the playoffs. I just think it's the wrong decision. It's the wrong decision every day of the week. Kick, head into overtime. Anything could happen. Ray McLeod could put the football on the ground. You could go right down the field and just kick a field goal, and you don't have to go all the way down the field. You don't win. You could go down the field and kick a field goal and then stop the Steelers, and you win that way.
Yeah, I wonder how much he trusted his defense after not being able to stop the Steelers for a quarter and a half to actually stop the Steelers again. If he made that decision...
The flip side of it is, though, the Steelers defense didn't just stop the Baltimore Ravens.
Correct.
Who went right down
right
the
down
field.
The field, yeah. If John Harbaugh did that just because... a chart told him to do it, and he ignored the Hall of Fame kicker that he's got on the sideline with the inside track on the number one seed in the conference. It's pure idiocy. But if he did it because he genuinely thought his defense couldn't stop the Steelers again on offense, then I'll grant him that's probably the right call.
Yeah, I'm firmly in the totally wrong call department, even if it would have worked. I didn't like it as it was happening. It's definitely a good debate to have, though, because, and it didn't work out for him, but it's definitely a very good debate to have. Get money coming up in just a couple minutes, the five thereafter. We talk a little officiating today in this hour as well. There's so much on the table. Ed Bouchette at 7, Ryan Shazier at 7:30. Do not miss the Foo Fighters and their Live in a North America 2022 tour. That's coming to the Pavilion at Star Lake in Burgettstown, May 14th, 2022. For your chance to win a pair of tickets, call in now. Foo Fighters, 412-928-9370. How about we tell you how to get some money? Let's go.
Get money. Get money. Get money.
Not to jinx ourselves here, but we smashed it last week on Get Money. I think
you
three,
keep track
six,
of the
nine,
stats better than I do.
I think we were 7 for 9 collectively.
Nice.
7 for 9 on our Get Money picks. So, add away. I got one for you. This one's gonna hit. I mean, I know the weather's supposed to be iffy tonight, Monday Night Football. So I like this one even more. Maybe some trickery. Maybe an end around. Maybe just a short pass and a run, and it pays a little. Plus 160 right now on FanDuel. You can get Stephon Diggs anytime scorer. He's going to score a touchdown, I think. I think that's probably going to happen. Lay a little money and you get paid back pretty well. Stephon Diggs anytime scorer for the Buffalo Bills. I don't think Buffalo will win this game, but I do think Stephon Diggs will score a touchdown in it.
Yeah, I've been on New England since a week ago. I think I first mentioned it, and a couple people, what are you talking about next Monday? Well, there was value there, and now there might not be because in some places it's not a +3 anymore. But yeah, it's a field goal game at least. And I like New England to win tonight. I like the Diggs play. I like this. You might stay up late tonight watching West Coast hockey, right? Pens are in Seattle. Well, right over the border from there in Vancouver, they just cleaned house. They fired Travis Green, their head coach.
French and American release, I noticed online.
Yes.
Which I always like from the Canadian
they
teams.
They fired Jim Benning, their GM. Bruce Boudreau is behind the bench now. He's been hired as the new coach. The Kings are coming to town and fresh off a big 5-1 win in Edmonton last night. Here's a problem. They're traveling all over Western Canada, back-to-back nights. Vancouver gets the bump from the new coach behind the bench. I like the Canucks tonight to beat the Kings in Vancouver. Take that. Get money.
That's one of those ones, too. Get money, get money, get money. That's one of those ones, too. You don't have to stay up. Just bet it and then wake up to your riches in the morning. That's always a fun thing. I like that. Matt, hit the music. That's great.
All right. A lot happened besides just that Steelers game this weekend. You know what happened Saturday night. There was that. There was Penn's action. A Jake Gensel hat trick. A lot going on. That's why we wrap it all up in the five.
Now, it's time for the five.
It's countdown.
Answering the five biggest questions of the weekend on the Fan Morning Show.
Can I count it up?
There we go.
Hey,
there we go.
Five.
All right, the final college football playoff rankings, they're out. The field's been set. It's number one Alabama against number four Cincinnati, and then number two Michigan against number three Georgia. So, do you agree with how the rankings ended up in the end, and is Alabama clearly the best team in the country?
I don't know about clearly, but they were sure pretty good the other day against Georgia. You know, I think that you can... I'm interested to see what Cincinnati does. I really am. I think you could jumble... You know, my knee jerk was you could jumble the top three and play it. You could play it 20 times and you get a different winner every time. But now I just, I really don't know what Cincinnati is against the big boys. They beat Notre Dame. They did.
Right.
And you can't take
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get away from them. They beat Houston and it was pretty good the other night. I mean, they Houston game a game for a little bit and then Cincinnati just pulled away. I think there's still a ton of questions over Cincinnati. They can't play week to week with all of these games or with all these teams. But in a 2-week season, which it is now,
maybe.
They might be able
maybe.
To.
Maybe. This is how Luke Fickell gets a big promotion somewhere, probably. I do think the seeding's correct. It didn't really matter if Michigan was 2 and or Georgia 2, but I think those two meeting each other in one game and then Bama-Cincinnati in the other game, that's clearly the way this had to stack up once you figured out who the four teams were going to be. And so I think we'll find out. January 10th, we'll find out if Alabama is clearly the best team in the country in their rematch against Georgia, because that's how I see it playing out. And we'll see if anybody, if Kirby can finally get one over on Nick Saban or not. I was going in believing in Georgia and not after Saturday. So is Alabama clearly the best team? Not yet. They got to beat him one more time.
Number 4.
Jake Gensel's absolutely on fire. A hat trick on Saturday night led the way for the Penguins 4-1 in their win over the Canucks in Vancouver. Is he now the best skater on this roster?
I don't know if he's the best skater on this roster. I'll tell you what, though. It validates the contract and when they gave it to him and the money that they gave to him and seeking out giving it to him. Some will say it's a no-brainer. He had proven some things in the playoffs. He hadn't proven to do it over the long haul at that point. And I think that when they gave him that contract, it said, you're going to be the face of our franchise. We'd like you to be in the next phase.
Yeah, I think it validates Jake Gensel and refutes all of those, including myself. I'll raise my hand, freezing cold take over here, who were ready to move on from Jake Gensel in an attempt to rebuild things after his poor playoff performance the last couple of seasons. Jake Guentzel, now, he's got to do it in the playoffs. And say the same thing about Tristan Jarry. Say it about everyone. How much of it matters until you get to late April, early May. But at the very least, he has proven he is the most dependable scorer on this team. He has proven that when they do have to finally turn the page from Crosby and Malkin and Letang to that next generation of guys, he will be front and center.
Number three.
All right, rough start. Also gave up a touchdown late. But in between, Steelers defense was solid and held Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in check. So can it still be considered one of the best units in the league?
No. No, they gave up 82 points in the last two games combined. It's a nice step in the right direction for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't necessarily think you can consider them one of the best units in the league because of what they did yesterday.
Yeah, not against the Ravens offense. Look, I'm ecstatic about the way they played. I love the fact that Chris Wormley showed up, of all people, and had a career-best performance. T.J. Watt, with again, probably the best player on the field last night. They've got to do this consistently now. They've got to get in Kirk Cousins' kitchen on Thursday night. Then they've got to shut down Tennessee and whatever they provide the week after. I mean, they're at a point where this can't be the one-off. And, again, we're ecstatic that they beat the Ravens and that they shut down Lamar yet again. But Lamar always seems to wilt against the Steelers. So while I'm happy about it, I don't know if I'm going to get the Steelers right back up there amongst the best units in the league right now.
Number two.
A 45-21 win for the Pitt Panthers over Wake Forest on Saturday. They are the ACC champions. Two parts to this.
Mm-hmm.
First, do you think this season elevates the Pitt program to another level? And two, did Kenny Pickett do enough to win the Heisman Trophy?
Hopefully it elevates them to another level. They're on the cusp of it does a lot for their profile, I think, and absolutely, Kenny Pickett does not win the Heisman. I'd like for him to, but the Alabama game solidified the Heisman for someone else.
Yeah, I think, if you swap conferences and put Kenny Pickett in the SEC and Bryce Young in the ACC, maybe people look at it a little differently. But I think, unfortunately, Colin's right. Kenny's not going to win the Heisman. He'll get invited, which will be very cool. But I think Bryce Young did solidify that over the weekend. As far as the Pitt program, I'm curious to see what this offseason holds. Do they believe in the guys they have in the quarterback room now? How much do they believe in them? How much adjustment does that mean they have to make on offense going forward? There's going to be guys on the other side of the ball that need to be replaced. This offseason is a big challenge for them to take all of this momentum and actually push it forward. And I'll say the jury is out on this program being elevated until I see what they look like going into their training camp in August.
Number one.
All right, big picture question to follow this up here and to end this. The biggest thing that you learned about the Steelers in the 20-19 win over the Ravens.
Just yesterday? Just in that game?
Just in this game.
That Ben Roethlisberger can't do it over a full season anymore, but he can give you 30 minutes, maybe, well, not even 60 minutes, but he can give you a span of time that's diminishing. It keeps getting smaller where he looks really, really good. He's not a guy that can get through a full season just because of his age and because of what he is, but he can still perform in moments like he always has.
Yeah, biggest takeaway for me is that hope still exists in the minds of Steeler fans. You're on the cusp of a playoff position right now. And the schedule surely does not stack up favorably, but you saw the old gunslinger put it out there for the second half, and as Colin alluded to, or pointed out, I should say, it's still in there. It's still in there in those little pockets here and there, and as long as you've got T.J. Watt on the other side of the ball, you've got a very good chance to terrorize the opposing offense and win a football game. So that's my takeaway. There's still hope there for the Steelers.
All right. Be sure to text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We'll get into our Twitter poll in just a moment. Ed Bouchette, top of the hour. What did you make of Kenny Pickett's fake slide the other night?
I didn't have a problem with it. When you're the guy that does the fake slide, you better realize that somewhere down the road you may go to slide and actually get your head taken off, but that team's still going to get flagged for it. So I loved it. I thought it was ingenious, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's where I am with it, kind of down the middle. I didn't have a problem with it, but if you do that, you better be ready then for people to play through the whistle.
And right. That's
just kind of part of it, I guess. I thought it was a brilliant move to play. He played within the confines of the rules, but again, people are then going to play the play all the way out.
Right.
So that's kind of where I am with it. Twitter poll. Let's go. Come on.
Come on, everybody. Let's tweet.
Yeah.
Tweet it.
Tweets that are rocking.
It's time for the Fan Morning Show's Twitter poll.
All right, daily Twitter poll. This from over the weekend, so it was the weekend Twitter poll. If you could keep just one coordinator for next season, which would it be? Butler or Canada? 59.4% of you said Keith Butler. 40.6% of you say Matt Canada. So there is that. Today's daily Twitter poll, vote when you get an opportunity. And we'll talk about this at length coming up at 8 o'clock. Did John Harbaugh make the right call in going for two at the end of the game yesterday? 52.9% of the respondents say no, he did not. 47.1% say he did make the right call. Speaking of calls, a lot of talk about the officiating yesterday. I thought the T.J. Watt call, I didn't understand the T.J. Watt personal foul. I understand the taunting or whatever it is. But two gentlemen were involved in back-and-forth banter. It's not as if T.J. Watt was just yelling at someone who wasn't talking also back to him.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad call.
That was strange to me. The green personal foul was strange to me.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. And I thought that I did not think that Ray McLeod caught the football. But I do think, you know, I think it hit the ground. You know, I thought, at least for me, it hit the ground and the ball bounded up quicker than it would have naturally if his hand were under it. So I think it was...
I didn't think the ball hitting the ground, though, helped him control it. That was my opinion anyway. I watched Pomp and Hokie go back and go at each other last night about this very same thing.
I did have a problem with the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers offensively, no matter what the timing of the throwing the flag was, they didn't seem to be expeditiously up to the football and trying to snap it so as to alleviate a challenge.
Right. Yeah.
I would have liked, you see that all across football all the time, and that let's get up to it and let's try to beat them. And even if you just run a draw or just run a straight ISO handoff and just try to get back to the scrimmage line or gain two, you really have gained those 30 yards or whatever it was on the play. I thought that the Steelers should have had some call, and a lot of teams do. They call it NASCAR or quick or race or something like that, where they just go and it's jailbreak up to the ball and they snap it and go so as to alleviate a challenge. But the officiating has come under a lot of fire and a lot of question. And that's something where all across the league it's being talked about. Look, you see stuff on social media and it's a lot of the outlier kind of stuff. These guys are trying to keep it under the number. I don't believe any of that. I mean, there's too many moving parts to fix a football game. I just think that what happens is that there are people, the game moves too fast, and that they are too flag happy with personal fouls. And that they have, it's not, they're officiating the game within the letter of the law. The letter of the law needs to be changed for me. That's kind of where it is. I don't understand why that's such a point of emphasis, and guys just can't yap a little at each other.
Yeah, that individual instance of the call on TJ Watt struck me as the only thing I could think of is he was sort of standing over a guy for a minute while he was jawing with someone. There's so many different things that could be focused on by the officials in this league. If this is the big point of emphasis this year, I'm at a loss as to why. Because no one coming into this year that I know of had a problem with the way guys were acting.
That's the whole part of it for me. I don't know anybody who said, okay, this league is out of control. People are acting like renegades. People are acting like punks. The way that it's unwatchable right now, how it's happening. After the whistle stuff, it's just too much. You got to pry people apart. It's going to start some big melee that's 53-on-53. Like, no one spoke up. Who had a problem with the way that football was being played? And who had a problem with the banter in between players? That's the part I can't seem to find. There was no big public outcry or in-the-game outcry to change it. It was just sort of unilaterally changed by someone. I don't know. Was it the officials department? Was it Roger Goodell? Was it the competition committee? Who decided that it needed to be changed? And what happened was, yeah, sure, it was a 99-yard drive, but 15 of those yards came free.
Yeah.
They just did, as two men were mutually combative in my eyes. So I don't know. I just don't know where it goes from here. You have to have a long discussion after the season, probably, and say, did we do the right thing? But it's affecting yardage totals. It's affecting scores. It's affecting the way that teams are able to move the football down the field for free.
Yeah, it's, again, if the theory is coaches especially and people on the sidelines were hearing things they'd never heard before last year because there were no fans in the buildings or very few fans in the buildings, and that they decided what some of the stuff they were hearing they didn't want to hear anymore, I don't understand why we're all of a sudden, bang, taking it, slamming on the gas and going to, we're going to start throwing personal fouls 2-3 times a game because somebody said some bad words to another
guy. And Green's penalty doesn't happen if the officials blow the play dead when they're supposed to. So is he not supposed to engage somebody that he feels as if is continuing the play?
I didn't get a chance to go back and look at that play specifically to see. I mean, they ended up calling it a face mask, so I couldn't see from the angle that I saw whether he actually got a hand on the face mask or not. At first, it looked like it was because he was throwing him to the ground after the play was over, but he's just playing it out. You know,
right.
The guy's got the ball in his hands running for the end zone.
Yeah, I thought it was incumbent on the guy to stop playing whenever,
Right, he's running with the football. He can expect to be thrown to the ground.
It's like, I love watching NBA games when every guy shoots the ball after the whistle and somebody goes up and goaltends it all the time. They don't give him the satisfaction of seeing the ball going in the hoop.
How dare you shoot on my hoop?
I love that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.